Today, on You're Buying a Home with Silas Lindenstein, we're talking about 10 red flags to look for when buying a house. Hello, everybody, and welcome to You're Buying a Home with Silas Lindenstein. I am your host, Silas Lindenstein. Welcome back to episode number 40. Number 40, 10 red flags to look for when buying a house. Hey, it's been a little bit since the last episode I recorded. I've been super crazy busy out here in Seattle, Washington. That's where I'm from. For those of you tuning in for the first time, my name is Silas Lindenstein. I'm a real estate agent in the Seattle, Washington area. But even if you're not from Seattle, this podcast is still for you. This podcast is about educating and empowering home buyers all over the nation. So go ahead and listen. We use different terms in Washington than some people may use in other states. But for the most part, buying a house is buying a house. This show will educate you and put you in the right path to home ownership. To feel comfortable and confident about buying a house. I know directly from emails from people that have bought a home because of everything they've learned on this podcast, whether it was on their own or one of the things I do as a service here is I connect listeners to real estate agents around the country. And we have had dozens of people buy homes from the connections that I set them up with. So yeah, I find out about all these closings that happened because I set them up with a real estate agent in their area. They didn't know anyone. They were looking for one. And that's the great thing. So if you're interested in finding a real estate agent in your area, go ahead and email me at silas@silasgetsreal.com. And these will be people that I have either vetted already or people I know personally, or I will vet them if it's a new area and make sure you are getting somebody really good. If you're in the Seattle, Tacoma, Marysville, that whole greater Seattle area, please reach out to me. I'd love to help you out. I'm actually just closed on a home from some people in Tacoma. I got another one still in escrow, going to close soon. It's wonderful helping people out locally that discovered me through the podcast. They had never met me and never heard of me until they ran across this podcast and got to learn about the home buying process and said, I would like to talk to Silas and see if he's still available. So yes, I am available. Still taking clients. Give me a call. We'll work it out. Again, silas@silasgetsreal.com. Email me there. And also, if you want the ebook on this show, it's the first 10 episodes of this podcast are basically the step-by-step process of buying a home. And I've put that into a little ebook. If you want that, I'll email that to you. Silas@silasgetsreal.com, and email me, say, I'd love that ebook. And then I will email that to you. And if you could just kindly tell me what city and state you're from, I'd love to know that. And that's it for there. Of course, if you are getting something out of this podcast, learning something new about real estate or learning anything, and if you're finding this helpful, please go to Apple Podcasts and give us a 5-star review with a comment. Comments help. It helps spread the word about this and raising the ratings, and that's wonderful. And yeah. And also, I did want to let you know, when I'm not hosting, when I'm not buying, helping people buy homes, when I'm real estating all over the globe here, I watch movies and I review them. And so I do have another podcast and full of, besides movie reviews, I interview people in the different art fields. So yeah, I mean, it's not related to real estate, but I thought maybe people might want to hear other stuff that I talk about. So movies and interviews with filmmakers and such, you could check that out. It's called Black and a Half. And you can find that wherever you found this podcast, on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher, wherever you get your favorite one. Black and a Half. So it's me, Silas Lindenstein, and usually with Samantha Rund. my co-host for that. So yeah, check that out. Black and a Half. You can also go to blackandahalf.com. The website's being a little wonky lately, so if you don't find it there, just go ahead and check Apple Podcasts. But folks, let's get to this episode. This is a fun episode inspired by a meme going around in real estate group. Oh, okay. And before we get started, I did have a question. Okay, so the title, the 10 red flags to look for when buying a house, and I did get an email from someone named Jamie out there in Chicago. Jamie was asking me, what do I look for in a inspector? And for my money, a good inspector educates. There's a level that they should be scaring you. I mean, a little bit, but like, you got it. Because there are things you need to be warned about. I've talked about this on the program, things that I neglected in my own house that came back to haunt me. They should scare you enough to make you seek action when doing it. And they shouldn't like minimize things that really do need serious attention, but they should most importantly educate. You should get a sense that they are trying to educate you on what it is to be a homeowner and what it is realistically as a homeowner, what you do, what you repair, how fast you repair it, how much you can, and educate you about what you need. And I even use inspectors now for my own house when I'm getting something done in my attic. I'm adding insulation, but I wanted to make sure it's done correctly. So I actually hired an inspector just to come and make sure, tell me what needs to get done. Is there a problem? What should be done to fix it? And then I called in the attic specialist to come in to give me bids and waited to see what they said was up there. So I could know, one, I learned if they were making some stuff up, because my inspector took pictures too, and we went over stuff that they said, and I did get someone try to tell me I had mold in my attic, and I didn't. So yeah, how about that? But otherwise, listening to whether it needed more ventilation, how much ventilation, what I needed for insulation levels, from like 5-6 different bids, right? So the inspector helped me see what the truth was, because they're independent and they're experts, you know, to agree on general home maintenance. And then they, and what you're trying to do overall, they have no biasness to try to upsell you, but they can tell you what's supposed to happen. So that's what I do. But anyway, education. I look for an inspector that educates. The ones that I recommend to people tend to be ones that will educate you. And, you know, and I have some others that I work with too, but the ones, if they're available, I like the educators. So, which kind of goes into today's topic, 10 red flags to look for when buying a home. Now, again, I am not an inspector. I know a lot from seeing homes. Like, my clients think they see a lot of homes when we go out and see 5 homes in a day or 10 homes in a day. They forget that I'm showing homes 4 other days of the week too, potentially, sometimes more. So I will see, I can easily, even on my own, just going out and checking, like I could see 40 homes in a week. Not, especially pre-COVID, I would be out a lot. A little less now, I only go to unoccupied homes. But I'm also looking at homes that I'm helping list that are going to go on the market and what problems are there. So I know what buyers are looking for. I know what problems sellers have and what they don't want to fix. So, and when I go to inspections, so I listen a lot. And so I learn a lot about home maintenance and what are realistic needs and realistic things to expect and potential red flags to look at. But I am not an inspector. Not an inspector. Let's be clear about that. Hire an inspector to learn all these things. But here are 10 red flags that I look for. I look at these whenever I go into a home. So you should too. Okay? And we'll talk about each of them. Number one, too much scent could be masking offensive odors. Yes. And yes, I do find this whenever there is that, gosh, I don't want to call them out, the company specifically, but you know, those little ones, those scented ones that have little fans and they're blowing in there. You go into some homes, like, sure, some people just genuinely like that smell for some reason, but they do like that. But they will, whenever I saw that, I'm like, oh, was there a dog? Was there a dog here? Is that what's going on? So I start looking for clues that there's a dog that lives here or had lived there. Start checking for hair. When there's too much scent happening there, I'm assuming there's a problem, and I'm just hoping it's not from water or musty or, you know. And then because carpet, depending on how big it is, you know, carpet can be a sizable expense, especially if it is dog and or cat, and the smell maybe of liquids, urine, have seeped into, not into the carpet, but into the subfloor. That can be expensive. So I like a neutral smell when I go in, like of paint. I just smell, oh, fresh paint. But when it's blowing those little Glad perfume things, I'm worried about something. Number two, poor tiling. Bad DIY tiling can cost a lot to redo. Tiling is one of those things that I think it's somewhat mild for someone to attack themselves. It's a good money saver because it takes a little bit. You can, to a point, you can redo it a bunch and still and not look bad if you're making errors as we go along. So you do see people try that a lot themselves. When it's badly done, though, depending on what was done bad, because I've seen done some tiling done by supposed professionals that wasn't that great. But when it's poor tiling, then you start wondering, okay, was this a DIY person, and what else did they DIY here, and what did they not know? What should they have DONT'd, right? Don't do that. Don't, no. I'm all in favor of doing stuff yourself. Save some money, learn some skills, do that. But when I see it as a buyer, I'm watchful on other things. What else did they do? And let's double check some things. Okay. Number three, foundation issues. Tip offs for these flags. Large gaps, like right in that foundation, right? Large gaps. Sticking doors or windows, cracks, uneven floor. I think large gaps even between the house and the where you see the foundation or inside. Okay, and here's a tough one. Like here are some potential indicators of foundations you're going to watch for, right? Uneven floor. If it's a 1989 house, I'm definitely worried about foundation. 1989 and above. A 1906 house with uneven floors, that's a 1906 house. That's probably settling. I would need to see some more things. Sticking or uneven doors or windows, things are jar. They can swell in the heat. They can get smaller in the winter. That happens. So what you're looking for is accumulation of a lot of things, because just one of those is certainly not an indicator of a foundation issue or a red flag for me. Not one singly, but the sum of them, a bunch of different things, I start wondering. And that's when you want to bring in an inspector, but maybe a foundation specialist, right? Number four, poor maintenance can indicate seller ignored other ongoing issues. Yes. So you want to see how well a place is maintained. And you can tell, especially when it's owner occupied, it's not a remodel. You can kind of look around and see, has this place been taken care of? Is this just fresh paint being thrown on, or is this indicative of caring and loving of this house? Does it look like the furnace is being kept up with? Do you see a bunch of service records on there? What Is this a well-loved house just in general? Can you tell that it's well-loved? And I say it's well-loved when not everything is brand new. That it looks like, oh, the furnace is 4 years old and the water heater is 3 years old. And, oh, look, this was cleaned over here. Clearly not new. Not Molly Maids didn't show up last week, but it's definitely kept clean. You watch for those things. Look to see what kind of maintenance records they have of it, because a well-taken care of home is probably good regardless of age, right? Number five, nearby water. Higher chance of flooding. And so we're talking about just little, okay, so there's a little creek in back, a little creek, or maybe a dribble. I don't know, what's a stream of some sort, even if it's 50 yards away. It makes me wonder where the water table is. Water table. So does that mean water kind of leaches up in here? Is there a basement? Is the water going to go in the basement in heavy rains or whatnot? Nearby water, it's not like, I want to say body of water, but even not necessarily even a lake, but yeah, these little streams can be indicators that there's a high water table. So you want to look around. If you see any water, it's pretty and it's tranquil and beautiful, but you want to double inspect your house there and then ask about it. Any water issues? Number six, wonky windows can signal issues with foundation or poorly installed. Pricey to fix repair. I mean, I would agree with this. I mentioned earlier with the foundation issue, wonky, that can be an indicator of that. More often, they just weren't installed right. Sometimes settlement. Windows they can be pricey also because it's weird. You don't like always want mismatched windows, right? You kind of want them in the same style. So here's what I do to save money as you're replacing windows. Try to do at least a side at a time and pick something that's always in style, universally in style. Like, I don't know if I've talked on here about it, but Quaker cabinets and Subway tile in the kitchen. Those two items are always in style to a degree. Like, they're never out of style, but sometimes they are the it thing, right? So they're always a good choice to throw in there when redecorating for longevity. And I would say the same with windows. I would ask for a classic window style that will stay there through the years. I can't off the top of my head figure out how to describe a modern window frame or style, but you know, when you see it, you can tell. And just talk to your window person about that. You want something classic. Just something classic. It'll always stay in style. And, so one house at a time. Also, it makes it easier that you can go back and find that same one. If you pick something like, oh, there's a new design out. Like, well, unless you're doing it all at once, that might not be there in 3 years when you want to fix the side number three. So do that. Also, right now, because of COVID and backorder issues, I mean, you're looking at 4 months to get a new window, by the way. So if that window is in real bad shape, you better be prepared to throw up some duct tape or some garbage bags over that thing. It's going to be hard to find a window, especially if it's custom. Okay. So right now windows are tough. Number seven, mold. Inspect bathroom sinks for small black or gray spots. So definitely around where there's water, you want to be looking for mold. So in your bathrooms, in your kitchen, looking for signs of mold. Signs, okay? You're not a mold expert. Unless you literally are a mold expert, you're not a mold expert. Remember that. You do need to get mold tested if you suspect mold. And here's an interesting thing that I was taught recently. There's a difference between mold and active mold. What you don't want is active mold. It hasn't been activated yet. Because somebody, inspector told me, when I was told I had mold in my attic. He said, telling someone there's mold in the attic is like telling somebody there's dust in the attic. Of course there is. It's the attic, especially here in the Pacific Northwest in particular. Everyone has mold in their attic. It exists. What you don't want is activated mold, which is spreading and potentially dangerous. Is it growing? Does it have a source to activate it? You want to keep it nice, dry, there's a little mold. You just don't want it spreading around. So understand that there's a difference. Just because its existence is there doesn't mean you're actually in danger yet. You don't want it to be activated. And look that up. I'm not a mold expert. Talk to a doctor or scientist, one of the two. Number eight, water damage. Musty odors is an indicator. Check walls and ceilings for water lines. I'm always looking, going to a house, but I love buying a house in the fall when it's raining because we can see more of the water. You can go to basements right now, a lot of Pacific Northwest, and see water just like coming out of the walls. It's marvelous. But they all have these sump pumps or these drains in the basement. They should. They take the water away and make it safe for you. But smell the house. I recently went to a house with a client and we both were like, this smells wet, the whole house. And it was a remodel. And so I was worried, like, did they just cover up what's there? Because this smells like basement, but we're not in the basement. So it shouldn't smell like this. Yeah, that and ceilings. I'm looking for yellowing. I'm looking for, those watermarks. See if there's there was an old leak in the old roof that came through. Maybe a current one. Looking for old things. Discolorations on the walls. Softness around. You feel around the window and feel like, oh, this is wet or this is soft. That's some water damage. I'm checking for that. Number nine, cosmetic updates. Could have been added to hide deal breakers. Yeah. It could be. I mean, it's hard. So many homes are remodeled. And you do need to look at stuff and figure out why did they do that? Why is that? That is really pretty. Did they just put that on to hide something? Just check, vinyl siding. I have this love hate thing with it. I mean, I never love it, but I'm okay with it. Most of the vinyl siding is a legitimate option for people to use for siding, to replace siding when using a house. Vinyl siding is fine, but it's also sometimes used when there's rot and they're trying to hide it. That's what I don't like about it. But most of the time it's not. But it's all one piece, mostly a piece, so you can't like just look and see like they hide something. You don't know until you open it up, right? And that's the kind of thing I think of when I read this, is looking for those cosmetic updates that might just be hiding a problem. I mean, really, you can do that with paint, right? You can paint like, oh, there's water damage. I don't want anyone to see it. Let me just paint that. You could do that. It's probably not happening, but just look for it. I hate that it's called red flags, by the way, this whole topic, because I play soccer and red flags, you kick them out. I say red flag is a warning sign, right? So I think we should yellow flags, 10 yellow flags to look for one by now. Anyway, number 10, bad ventilation. Allows moisture to stick around, creates mold. Creating mold. So that's what I'm talking about in my attic. Like right now, I have good ventilation in my attic, but we're going to add some more insulation. So there's going to be less space in there. So they're going to need more ventilation going on. You want things moving. Air should be moving in and out of the house. It's not lock solid. A lot of people think of homes as like it's locked tight. No, there's ways that air should be going. Yeah, and moving, because when air becomes static and stagnant, that's when things like mold are created, and you don't want that. You don't. So bad ventilation. Try to, and that's where it comes into just like sometimes smelling the place. You smell it and you go, oh, wow, this smells stale. This smells musty. Nothing's moving in the house. And we're not talking movement. Movement can be slight. You know, whenever you run a heater, it pulls. There's a fan that pulls the air from inside and then takes it through the vents, heats it up, and sends it back out and blows it. Just a little bit of blow. Hey, I just bought some air purifiers for the house just because. I thought I should have them, and we thought it was going to get smoky this summer like it usually does. Turn those on. They're very little. They take like 2 hours to circulate a room, it says, but on the lowest setting, but it's quiet, but it still works. It just takes a while. So just a little bit of pressure goes a long way. And that, my friends, is 10 red flags to look for when buying a house. That's it. That's the program. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode. I'm Silas Lindenstein with Boutique Brokerage out here in Seattle, Washington. Again, be sure if you want my ebook, email me at silas@silasgetsreal.com. If you want a referral for an agent in your area, I will do that as well. Same email. Or if you want to work with me, go ahead. Email me, silas@silasgetsreal.com, and I'll get you into a home like I have for so many people. And of course, go out, check out my other podcast, Black and a Half, for movie reviews and interviews with creatives in all different industries. So folks, until next time, I'm Silas Lindenstein, Boutique Brokerage. Happy home buying.